Greetings from the McHugh Center at the University of Virginia. The Wahoo Central podcast is back after a lengthy break for the College World Series. I'm Jeff White, Director of News Content for VirginiaSports.com, and my guest today is Brian O'Connor, head coach of the national champion UVA baseball team. Brian, welcome back for a record fourth appearance on this podcast.
Oh, it's a record, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's great to be back, Jeff. This is great, and you know, starting off the year with such high expectations and things changing throughout the year, and then be sitting here as the national champions is really great. And thanks for having me back.
So I kind of was hoping you'd walk in the door toting the national championship trophy. Where is that now? Is that like the Stanley Cup where everyone gets it for a day and then passes it on?
No, it's currently sitting in our Hall of Fame room right now over at the stadium. We have a place for that kind of trophy, and it looks a lot better sitting there than it does the runner-up trophy from last year. But we've got a handful of recruits in town this weekend and things like that, so you know we'll make sure that we show it off.
So game three ended late last Wednesday night. Back at the team hotel, I saw you getting something to eat, maybe 1 a.m. Thursday. A few hours later, I saw you in the lobby taking your family's luggage out to the truck. Did you get any sleep after the game that night?
You know, a little bit. 3 or 4 hours I got. You know, by the time you wind down, Jeff, from the excitement, and then even so, you don't sleep very good. And you know, it's just one of those great, great moments for the players, certainly for the coaches and the fans. And, you know, you're just so excited. And you'll see the look on people's face and their excitement and their joy for what has been accomplished is really, really rewarding. And, you know, that ended just about 8 days ago. And I haven't slept much since then. You know, the nights have been short. And it's more been – there's a lot of things going on, certainly. But you're still – you know, on a high, really. And, you know, I hope that lasts throughout the summer because I'm going to need that energy to get through what's going on. So
if anybody's earned a vacation, it's you and your staff, but that's not really an option this time of year, is it?
No.
Are you out recruiting? I know there's stuff going on at the stadium now.
Yeah, I mean, that's really not an option for us right now. We're the month of June and July and the first couple of weeks of August is our hottest time recruiting-wise. Well, we missed the month of June
right,
because we played through it, fortunately. So we're kind of in a race a little bit right now, Jeff, to evaluate players. You know, some people have said, is it easier to recruit after the success we've had over the last couple of years? And I wouldn't say it's easier to recruit, because the most time-consuming, challenging part of recruiting is the evaluation piece of deciding, all right, which are the ones you want to try to recruit? And then, you know, getting them to campus and talking to them about your program, the university, you know, that's the easy part. It's just the time-consuming part is evaluation. That's the piece that we're in right now. So we're doing some traveling, and Carl and Kevin are doing the most. And, you know, we're just trying to figure out which ones are the guys that we want to go after.
Your first team at UVA way back in 2004, had its season ended by Vanderbilt at the NCAA Regional at Davenport Field. 10 years later, Vandy beats Virginia in the final game of the College World Series. And then this year, of course, you turn the tables on the Commodores. This has developed into a marquee rivalry, hadn't it?
Well, yeah, I think a little bit. Certainly, you know, we don't play during the regular season. We could. I just don't know if that's a reality. Maybe that'll happen at some point. But, you know, I remember that game in 2004, and, you know, Vanderbilt had a really good team, experienced team that year. And they did beat us, and certainly we know what happened last year and then this year. So it has been. You know, I think it's two programs, Jeff, that have a lot of mutual respect for each other. The coaches have mutual respect. And you know, they're very, very similar to us, and that a very good academic institution, and have been successful over the last decade in the sport of baseball. So, you know, hopefully we get a chance to meet again.
On the field after the final game in Omaha, Nathan Kirby told me that this championship was not only for the current team, but for all those who came before in the program and laid the foundation for the success. What's the response been like from former players for you?
Well, I'm glad Nathan said that, because I feel the same way that, you know, Jeff, there's been many, many players that have worn this uniform that have, you know, laid those bricks for the foundation of this program, and it's as much for them as it is for the guys that, you know, wore our uniform this year. And, you know, the outpouring, the emails, the text messages, the voicemails have been really overwhelming. You know, those guys are so proud from, you know, immediately after the game through early that next morning. It was over 600 text messages on my phone, and, you know, I would say probably 75 or 100 of those were former players, and not necessarily former players that played here under our coaching staff.
Wow.
You know, guys that played here 20 and 30 years ago that I've gotten to know through out on the road fundraising and getting to know people, and people have come back here. You know, there's a lot of pride in what was accomplished, and, you know, everybody knows how hard of work that it's been by many, many people.
I think I heard somewhere that you grew up in the Omaha area.
Mm-hmm.
That angle hasn't really been explored much.
No, not at all.
but seriously, your brothers were with you at the College World Series, as were your parents, who still live across the river from Omaha in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Did having your family there for that moment make it that much more special?
It does. You know, certainly, Jeff, I have something special with the College World Series in that, you know, I grew up around it and everything, and that my family gets to experience it. My wife's family gets to experience it. You know, both my parents and my wife Cindy's parents flew back from Omaha back here to Charlottesville for the celebration, stayed here a few days after. And so it's a special experience for them, really, that, you know, when we get a chance to bring a team back there and certainly win in the national championship. So having my family involved with it, it makes it very, very special, you know, and these things don't happen very often to most people. It never happens, a national championship, and for them to be there, and as well as the other coaches, their families were also there, made the trip there, and almost all the players' parents were there, so it just makes it great.
For your parents and your in-laws to fly back with the team, to get on the bus, to come down 29 with a police escort, see people standing on either side of the road waving as the buses went by, then to see the celebration at JPJ that night, that had to be, for them to see what UVA baseball means to this community, that had to be fantastic, wasn't it for you?
Well, it was.
And
it
for
certainly
them.
Was. Yeah, it was. It was fantastic for everybody, you know, just to see the outpouring of support. You know, like you said, coming down 29 and people pulling on the side of the road and waving their arm outside their car. And, you know, the reception at JPJ was unbelievable. I couldn't imagine that it would have been like that. I was quite frankly knocked off my feet. I was a little surprised. And, you know, I think that just shows, you know, what people in this community, how they feel about our players that wear our uniform. And I know people that drove from North Carolina for that celebration. And
wow.
I think that really, really says a lot about what these guys have done.
When Brian Bolin won his first NCAA title in 2013, he talked at a staff meeting about all the encouragement he'd received from colleagues through the years, including from you. Was your experience the same after your first three trips to Omaha and you kept getting closer and closer but couldn't quite push through?
Yeah, certainly this coaching staff, all the head coaches, the assistant coaches, you know, it's a fantastic group here. The administration's done a tremendous job of, you know, not only bringing in high quality coaches that are experts at what they do, but also really good people that are, you know, love to see other teams have success. There's not jealousy in this department, you know, and whether it be an email or text message from Dom or Tony Bennett or, you know, right on down the line, many, many coaches have reached out with encouragement. And, I mean, Joanne Boyle sent many, many text messages on our journey to me wishing us well. And that means a lot that, you know, people recognize what you're doing. But also, too, they, you know, they reach out and provide encouragement during the struggles, during the difficult time. And I think that's great that people recognize that.
Is it, I'm guessing it's inspirational and motivational to have that caliber of coaches do and see what they do. And not that anyone would rest on his or her laurels around here, but it's probably hard to, isn't it, when you see what others are doing?
It really is. You know, you see how they're consistently winning and the championships they win. And, you know, I living next to Brian Boland and many, many conversations that we've had outside of this department, you know, and see the frustration and disappointment he experienced with getting to the finals and not winning it and things. And then, you know, finding a way to for his team to win it is, you know, I learned a lot from just listening and lending an ear, you know, and providing support. You know, you can learn a lot with the people around you.
I've covered every one of your 12 teams at Virginia. I may be forgetting somebody, but I cannot remember another player who performed as well in the postseason as Josh Spores did. I mean, every time he came in the game, if he had stumbled, the team season could have ended several times. What about what he did, you know, in Omaha, but actually every in California, then at Davenport, then in Omaha?
It was really incredible, Jeff, the consistency. I mean, the stuff, the quality of his stuff and how good he is. His ability is really, really high. But there's a lot of guys that have ability and can't put it together on a consistent basis. And I haven't seen a pitcher of ours in our time here in 12 years, you're right, that has pitched with this consistency at every time at such a key, important time. And, you know, your games in California, Super Regional, through Omaha, all those different outings. And it's not just one inning. It's multiple innings. And then, you know, how about the one hitter against Georgia Tech, the play-in game of the he started that game and went seven innings and threw a complete game one hitter. Special what he did for us on this run.
I got to admit, it was a little nerve-wracking to know that he was not available that last game. Mm-hmm. What you did have Nathan Kirby in reserve, and we know how that turned out, but. You know, Josh had been kind of a security blanket for you throughout the postseason. That was a little different, wasn't going into that knowing that no matter what happens, he's not an option.
Yeah, it was. But I also think, too, when you put it out there and your players and everybody knows this is what it is and you have to win the game without somebody, you know, players rise up. Things happen. And, you know, we talked about that in the – you know, the opportunity in front of some of those guys. And, you know, certainly we had won so many big key games with him at the end of the game. But I just felt that, you know, that's why I talked about it in game two right after in the press conference, that he would not be available because there was no way I was going to succumb to the urge and then possibly to put him in the ball game. And fortunately it worked out.
If there's ever been a player whose stats do not accurately reflect his value to the team, it's probably Brandon Waddell this season. He finished with a 5-5 record, a 3.93 ERA. Yet in Omaha, he was an absolute rock for you. You know, he makes three starts in Omaha. Final game, he goes seven innings for you. Had he gone three solid innings, would you have been happy with that?
No, but I would have just because he was going on 3 days rest and he's done such a great job. But, you know, I knew that he would give us a quality start. I was hoping that he could give us five, really, and that we'd have to bridge the gap to Kirby, you know, with maybe Bettinger or Doyle or somebody. But, you know, he just kept kind of trudging along, and he actually was better
late in the game.
No question. I think a lot of people, you know, when he didn't go back out there in the eighth inning, a lot of people wondered, well, what is he doing? Why are they not leaving him in? But he had given us everything he had, and what a big game pitcher. You know, he was huge there in Omaha last season, and he saved his best for the end.
This was a long season, obviously. You played until the final day. Because of that, do you reduce the summer workload of some of your players?
You know, where it cuts out a little bit, Jeff, is that there some of the pitchers we didn't send out to pitch this summer because of the workload they had because we played so right. deep. You know, so Connor Jones is fine. He's in great shape, but we shut him down. He was about 110 innings or so, and Bettinger had over 30 appearances, and both of those guys were supposed to go to the Cape Cod Summer League. You know, and so you want them to regain their strength. So we're going to lock them in the weight room for about, you know, a month and a half, 2 months before we break out to fall baseball. And, you know, hopefully that makes a difference for them.
Looking ahead to next year, I think most people who are familiar with the program know what Adam Haseley and Pavin Smith and Ernie Clement did this season. Are there other guys in that class who, for one reason or another, did not play big roles this season who could step to the forefront next year?
Yeah, I think certainly there is. There's a few of them. And you know, this happens every year. You know, Matt Theiss, what do you get, 40 or 50 bats at bats his freshman year? And certainly he proved how good he is last year. And a lot of times you don't know that, Jeff, who those guys are until – they go away in summer ball and play and start to develop some consistency and then come back in the fall and really prove what they have. But certainly there's many more players in that class that have talent that will be ready to contribute for us. And, you know, that rising second-year class latched on with our incoming freshman class is a pretty big class as well. You know, that'll be the high majority of players on the roster for next season.
When do your first year start showing up here? Do you have, how many are in summer school? Or
you know, there's almost all of them are in summer school. I believe that there's 14 in summer school that will start. Summer session three will start July 13th. So
14 freshmen.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing them. And, you know, getting a chance to start to, you know, talk to them more in depth about, you know, what this program is about, what their responsibilities are. And they, you know, so they'll take summer classes in session three, and then, you know, they'll work out with Coach Ed, our strength and conditioning coach, through the 5 weeks that they're here, which is really important for them as well.
I know it's difficult to know for sure what kind of team you're going to have, but mm-hmm. you've had success all 12 seasons here. Do you see more in the more coming in 2016?
I do. I got to tell you, the first thing I'm going to do over this next month and a half is enjoy what we accomplished, you know, first and during the summer. But that said, we're constantly working every day on next year's club, whether it be administrative things, finishing out the schedule for next year, you know, figuring out scholarships, all those kind of things, and you know, starting to set how fall ball is going to work and. You know, maybe who could, you know, who are we going to play where in the fall and things. So you're always, you know, working on those things. And it'll be another exciting year. You know, I have no idea how it's going to go. But you know, certainly there's plenty coming back and coming in to have a great season.
You took the foreign trip last December. I know that's something you can only do once every 4 years. And it's probably difficult to quantify the effect of something like that. But do you think, in terms of bringing the team together, it helped and maybe helped the team withstand the adversity it faced?
You know, I do, Jeff. I think there's a lot to it. You don't really know while you're going through it, is there really a big value? Because there's not a ton of baseball that happens, but, you know, I think the value is added, you know, as you go through the season. And you know, that's just time they got to spend together that it's not the same time as they spend together when they're here every day going to classes and practicing, when they're staying in a hotel room together, when they're, you know, you got eight men in a canoe together, rowing together to get down the river in Panama. You know, there's something to that. And there's small incremental gains, I think, that you make. And wouldn't you know it, the two teams that meet in the national championship both went on their foreign tours in the same year. So there might be something to that.
One guy who did not go on the trip with you was a guy I spent entirely too much time with last month. your radio man, Channing Poole. For a guy who's not long out of high school, he's done some pretty good work for you, hadn't he?
He sure has. I love Channing. I think he's really a professional. He's so prepared. Jeff, he spends a lot of time in his preparation for games, and I'm really impressed by it. The voice is great. His knowledge of the game. I hope there's not a day that we lose this guy, because I think he's very, very special. And I know the fans love listening to him.
You know, I don't think he slept in Omaha, and he must have been in his room just doing prep.
He is. I mean, he's so well prepared. When he interviews me before a game, I mean, he knows the ins and outs of every pitcher that are available for them, this and that. And I'm just I'm really impressed. He's really, really talented.
Brian, congrats again on an incredible season, and I hope you can kick back and reflect on this at some point before the next school year starts.
Well, thanks, Jeff. It was a pleasure. What a ride, and we're excited to be back next year and right back at it.
I'll be back later this month with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, remember to check virginiasports.com for schedules and information on all 25 of our teams, and thanks for listening.